Native Son by Richard Wright. At the heart of this course is the question, what is the American experience? And ultimately, what does it mean to be an American? We recently studied The Grapes of Wrath. Taking place in the 1930s, we follow the Jode family as it moves from Oklahoma to California in search for stability in an ever-changing world. The economy has changed. The environment has changed. And as these two things are happening, the introduction of machinery has significantly changed the lifestyle of a sharecropper. And all these things are happening at once, which is making this family go through a tremendous amount of adversity. We stay in the same time period when we are reading Native Son by Richard Wright. It's still the 1930s, but we have moved to an urban environment. And what we're essentially reviewing is the Black experience in an urban environment in Chicago, the South Side of Chicago, in a very difficult time in American history. And we see this through the eyes and the experiences of Bigger Thomas, who we're introduced to immediately in a world of poverty, living with his sister, his brother, and his mother in a one-room apartment. All of them sleeping, it sounds like, in two separate beds or two separate spaces, having to turn their backs for one another so that they could change. The introduction of the rat into the scene is essential to understanding the entire novel. The rat, in many ways, parallels Bigger Thomas's existence in this world. He is scared. He is dangerous. And when pushed into a corner, he is going to fight through fear. And in this opening scene, it's the rat who goes on the offensive out of fear. Obviously, he's trying to survive as well, but it's rooted in fear of what is attacking him, what is after him. And in this case, it is Bigger. And as this rat goes around this room, it's described as a one-foot rat, this giant rat. Bigger eventually kills it, hits it with a skillet, and then takes the shoe off and smashes its head with a shoe. And in this violent scene, his mother is crying. And once the violent act is done, immaturity of Bigger shines through, and he picks the rat up by the tail and taunts his sister with it, causing her to faint. So we see two sides of Bigger immediately. We see him, on one hand, being able to be violent. We also see him being immature, taunting his sister. If you want to go even further, we also see a side of him that shows he's willing to stand up for his family, defend his family. And all of this is being played out very quickly in this opening scene. And we have to consider the fact that Bigger Thomas, throughout the course of this novel, which I know we're not going to study all of it because this is part of our snapshot series, and we're only doing a close reading of the first few pages here. But when we talk about the plot, as we went over the plot in class, I want us to remember that, like the rat, Bigger Thomas is operating out of fear. He's in a world where his skin color has defined him, has limited his resources, has limited his opportunities, and at 20 years old, he's still very, very lost. What should he be doing? What are the jobs that he should be involved in? Who should he be hanging out with? How should he spend his time? How does he interact with the world when the world feels like he is dangerous, much like the rat in this opening scene, where the rat is immediately looked at as a predator, as something that no one wants in their home? That, in many ways, is how Bigger Thomas feels throughout the entirety of the novel. Unwanted, lost, and relatively feared by everyone else while being fearful of his surroundings as well. Richard Wright is an essential American writer. He's an essential Southern writer. And his ability to have incredible commentary on the lives of not only black people during this era, but on the lives of the people who interacted with them, who consider themselves part of the majority, who consider themselves above the black community based solely on race. And it showcases itself throughout the entirety of this novel that Bigger is limited due to multiple variables that are out of his control. So this first chapter, not really a chapter, this first section needs to be analyzed as making large statements that are expanded upon throughout the entirety of the novel. But for our class, I want us to consistently be reminded of the difficulties of the 1930s and how it was present in a variety of ways based on a number of attributes. The main two that we'll always talk about are race and socioeconomic status. So when we look at American literature and we look at the American experience, we look at what it takes to move from the lower class to the middle class, the upper class, and we analyze socioeconomic status and its connection to race, we have to look at Bigger Thomas and consider the fact that he is someone who's going to be limited because of the color of his skin. We know that he's going to be limited in a world that has decided that he is less than. And as we consider the haves and have-nots and who fits into each mold, we have to also look at the people who are working for and employed by the haves. In an effort to keep the machine running, the haves need to lean on the people who qualify as a have-not. And as we look at that, and look at why people are in this situation, we will talk about the Jode family and compare them to the Thomas family. Because I do think we have to look at this both through the scope of race, but also the socioeconomic status, as well as the geography that we're talking about here. One being an urban environment, one being obviously rural. So as we consider Native Son, and as we look at this just one little snapshot scene, and as we analyze who Bigger Thomas is and who he becomes by the end of the novel, are we surprised by the way this thing turns out? Are we surprised by the way the plot is orchestrated? In many ways, this is the tragedy of Bigger's life, a tragedy that starts from his birth, a tragedy that in many ways he has some responsibility for, but not as much maybe as he ultimately has to pay the price for. So let's consider that. Let's continue to ask ourselves, what is the American experience? Why is it so different from person to person? What variables and aspects of the American experience influence how we see ourselves and relate to one another? And what does it essentially mean to be an American? And is that a term that applies to everyone, regardless of their status in this country? And if we really want to say it doesn't, then what are the people that don't qualify for what we would say is a typical American or the typical American experience? As we analyze the haves and have-nots, we want to make sure that we are really, truly analyzing who is truly accepted. Not just in name only, but in access, in opportunity, and ultimately respect.